Hoshea Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reminding us of our roots and our future if we keep it going well. But Ephraim at the moment, before destruction, is riding high and feeling extremely egotistical and optimistic and sure that nothing can possibly go wrong. But V'dibarti al ha-Nevi'im, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I spoke to the prophets about you, V'anochi, and to speak to you, V'anochi chazon hir beisi, I increased their visions. They're giving you mussar. You're supposed to be brought back for many, many days and months and years. Uviyad hanaviim adameh. And to the prophets, I assumed a likeness. I presented the future in images. I gave them visions to see through all of the self-deception that Ephraim is guilty of. I give you a position of leadership and you turn into a megalomaniac. So I sent the Nevi'im to poke out some of the air and bring you down to earth a little bit. Yudbeizim Gilad Oven Achshav Hoyu. If there's violence in Gilad, if you suffer from destruction and violence on Chas V'Shalom on October 7th, it's because they were vanity. They were sacrificing, Rashi says. Heim Gormu La'atzmam. You did it to yourselves. Ki achshav hayu vagilgal sharim zavchu la'avodas elilim. Gilad had high places, so they were shechting for the bamos to the avodah zarah. Vagilgal shivarim zibechu. The pasuk says it openly. In Gilgal, they sacrificed the oxen. And mizbechosam kigalim. Their altars were like heaps. Al Talmei Sadai, on the furrows of the field. So not only did they build altars in the city in Gilgal, but outside as well. They looked like heaps of rocks by the furrows of the field. All you see is this weird stone structure. Not even one furrow of the field has no altar on it. You got a getchka everywhere you turn out in Gilgal. Achav left no furrow overturned without an idol that they would bow to. So you finish a furrow and you bow. And you go the other way on the other furrow and you bow. They put them on the roofs. They put them on the mirpesets. They put them everywhere. I showed you guys once in the Nacht. There was an article in the Jerusalem Post of a kid in a kibbutz. And they were out there kind of where the fields were plowed. And he found a little tiny getchka. A little tiny finger puppet getchka. And the kid is hilarious. He's got this giant grin on his face, this 8-10-year-old holding up the getchkas. But it's not funny if every furrow has a getchka in it. It's like sometimes if you have a toddler in the house and you've got Legos and you step on them everywhere you go. You've got little figurines, little action figures, little animals. And everywhere you go, you step on a sheep or a pig or something from a farm set from Little Tykes. But they're worshiping them. They're bowing to them. Are these people crazy? And now, a haftarah. Yud Gimel vayivrach Yaakov sedei Aram. Oh, for crying out loud! I think it's vayetze this haftarah. I never remember. My bar mitzvah parsha was told us, so I'm not so good with vayetze vayeshev. Vayivrach Yaakov sedei Aram. Vayavod Yisrael v'shamor. Going back to the origins. Going back to the original. And Yaakov fled to the field of Aram when Esav wanted to kill him. And Yisrael worked for a wife. And for a wife he guarded. It was, he tended sheep for Lavan. So going back to the previous topic, talking about Yaakov Avinu. When your father was poor and without anything, remember, we all come from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov had nothing. And when he was fleeing before Esav, remember all the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for him. He followed Rivka's advice, went to Aram, worked for a wife, stayed there for 20 years, guarded the flocks for first Leah, not knowing it was going to be Leah, and then Rachel, and did it without complaint for 20 years, and he came back with wealth and substance. He came back incredibly wealthy. So here you are going, look at me, look at all the money I made, says Ephraim. Ephraim comes from Yosef. Yosef was what we waited for before we left Aram. Ingratitude. Where does all that wealth come from? Come on. You're making getchkas in the furrows? celebrating your wealth with the Avodah Zarah in your actual wealth, your field. Yadalu v'navi ha'aloh Hashem es Yisrael mi-Mitzrayim. And through a Navi, through the great Moshe Rabbeinu, you disgrace the prophets, you mock their words. Wasn't it Nevi'im who HaKadosh Baruch Hu used as his mechanism to get us out? HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought up Klal Yisrael from Egypt, v'navi nishmar, and through a prophet they were guarded. Where do we get all the money we got? We got the money from Mitzrayim. Who gave it to us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a Navi was in charge that entire time. But now you throw out the Nevi'im. Moshe guarded us like flocks, just like Yaakov guarded the flocks of Laban. Tazvav, hichis Ephraim tamurim. Ephraim provoked. Yes, bitterness. Despising the prophets. Betraying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vidamav alov yitosh. Therefore his blood is going to be cast upon him. Rashi suggests that some of this is including intermarriage with Egyptians, Edomites, Ammon, Moab, Baal Pa'ar. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to cast our blood back in our face. Cher Paso Yoshiv Lo Adonav, and his disgrace, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to return upon him because of the evil deeds that we did. We owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu just for our generation. We owe him for our entire existence from the beginning, from Yaakov Avinu. And what do? We throw it back in his face. Well, our own blood is going to be thrown into our face. We need to do better. And the Haftorah continues in Perek Yud Gimel, a Haftorah of rebuke and reminder to whom we owe everything and to what gratitude we're supposed to be showing, but never do.